This is where a lot of careers are lost. A lot of sales careers are lost. A lot of goals aren't met, personal, professional.
He said it to know. It's not your job to convince them to quote unquote sell them. Can you send a quote over?
Yep.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. You know, I think we refer to it as golden retriever selling before, yeah. Right? It's like they throw the stick out there. We go retrieve it and come back and just, you know, we're just happy as a lark to be there.
Choose your heart. It's hard to be unhealthy and it's hard to make good eating decisions. Choose your heart. It's hard to prospect and it's hard to miss your number. Choose your heart.
You're doing what's not as easy in the moment for long-term comfort. Are you trading long-term comfort for short-term comfort?
Welcome to Building Your Sales Engine. I'm your host, Mark McGraw.
Everybody, welcome back to Building Your Sales Engine. Your host, Mark McGraw. Today, I'm going to sit down with Mr. Josh Pitchford, and we're going to talk about a concept that called WIMP Junction. And this is, we'll dive into the topics of it, but this is an important ingredient for our success so that we're doing and recognizing the right decision to make in the right moment and ultimately getting us closer to what our sales and personal goals are. Let's not forget those either. As always, if you appreciate our episodes and you appreciate our podcast and our show, like and subscribe. Feel free to share with another good soul as well. And we'll keep bringing you great content and great tools. Hey, Josh Pitchford, welcome back.
Awesome to be here, as usual.
Indeed, indeed. We're going to talk about a concept together today called WIMP Junction. And I'm going to ask you to define it here in just a minute, yeah. But just a quick little story on the outset. Before I knew what Sandler was, someone had given me a piece of paper as a VP of sales with the word WIMP Junction written on it. And it was this fork in the road and it said WIMP Junction. And I actually kept it in a desk drawer. I had nothing else in this desk drawer on my credenza behind me other than this piece of paper. It was there so long, I don't remember where it came from. I didn't remember who gave it to me, but this concept haunted me for years, just sitting in the back of my desk until eventually, many, many, many years later, I discovered what it is. Why don't you start by telling us what is this mysterious thing, WIMP Junction?
The WIMP Junction, and I'm sure everyone, including you, has a little bit different flavor on it, right? I always tell people, we cover this when people start into Sandler. It's first 10 minutes, if you will, of people starting into Sandler. I say, this is why we do what we do. We were put on this planet to help people recognize WIMP Junction, do everything they can to avoid it, or know what to do to get out of it. By definition, WIMP Junction is when we make these choices, are we going to go with what the buyer wants us to do and go into the buyer's system for buying? Or are we going to follow our own system process? And hopefully that's a Sandler methodology to combat that buyer system to make sure they do what they need to do to make the best choices for them.
It's a fork in the road. I mean, yes. To your point, it's so easy as a seller, the buyer asks you to do something and our temptation is just to do it without really asking. They say, send a quote. And we're going to go send a quote. But there, to your point, there is a fork. And if our listeners want to think about a junction, a fork in the road where you can go left or right on a trail, that's what we refer to as WIMP Junction. And it's the fork in the road by which people make decisions. And you gave a couple of great examples right there of the many places in sales that we have WIMP Junctions.
There's so many.
What are some that come to your mind?
You brought up one, right? Can you send a quote over?
Yep.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. You know, I think we referred to it as golden retriever selling before, yeah. Right? It's like they throw the stick out there. We go retrieve it and come back and just, you know, we're just happy as a lark to be there. And that's what happens a lot of times is, can you give a quote? Call me next year after the holidays. You know, hey, we're going to take this up in Q4. We're going to do there's so many examples of different areas that people just do whatever the buyer wants, right? And they take surface level answers or misleading answers. That's step one of the buyer system is, you know, everyone's heard out there, buyers are liars. Well, guess what? They mislead salespeople, tell half truths, right? They keep things close to the vest. You know, either they do it on purpose. I choose to think that it's not on purpose, that they just, that's just how they're wired. And what are we doing to combat that on the sales side and being ready for it is part of what we're doing.
And so as a seller, we could be asked, hey, bring me some references or, you know, I'm going to need a bigger discount. Mm-hmm. That could be one too. And so there's all these places where we find ourselves in sales where we are aware of the circumstance mm-hmm. and we've got to make a decision. Do I just go along with what they're asking me to do? Or do I say or do something different? Do I push back? Do I nurturingly assert myself? In which case you go down the right path, and the right path is a stronger, better system or process that's actually beneficial for both buyer and seller.
No doubt. It's part of learning about Wimp Junction is becoming aware of it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Whoever we talk to is like, yep, that's about it. I've been here 10 years, Mark, and I've never heard the piece of paper in their credenza story somewhere along the way. I guess of all the stories I've heard over the last 10 years, I've never heard that before. You don't remember the background of that at all?
I don't.
You don't remember where you got it from or whatever. Why did it haunt you so?
Because when I looked at it, I'm like, I don't know I didn't even know what this meant.
And, okay.
But I knew that it was like, that's interesting. There's something about that. Because at least for me, pre-Sandler, I had a lot of circumstances where I would see things happen over and over again as a seller and as a sales manager. For example, I would find that I knew that at some point, if things weren't going the right way, we wouldn't hear back from people. Like you'd reach out, like at some point they reach out to you or you talk to them and they want all this information and the communication level is really high. But as you get further down the process, if things aren't going your way, the rate of communication drops off. And I didn't know, all I knew is I felt like there was a pattern that happened and that was a precursor to nothing good occurring.
Absolutely.
And it seems obvious when you look at it, but it was like these gut feelings. Now, as that ties to Wimp Junction, I mean, to me, when we're aware of circumstances and why that paper haunted me is that it starts to give indicators that that something dangerous is up ahead. And I think that phrase, Wimp Junction, because, I mean, if you think about it, this is where a lot of careers are lost. A lot of sales careers are lost. A lot of goals aren't met, personal, professional. You know, there's a lot of unpleasant casualties at this Wimp Junction moment. And that's why it just kind of haunted me as it sat in the back of my desk drawer.
So you saw you and your team doing a lot of, you know, unpaid consulting, mm-hmm. giving free information with zero commitment.
That's right.
Those are step two and three of the buyer system. So you saw that it kind of haunted you a little bit. And sorry, I'm just going into this because I'm amazed that I finally heard a new story. After 10 years, I'm unpacking.
Thought you'd heard them all.
But, you know, it's amazing when you put it in context of what you used to do in a previous world, which is a very highly technical sale, mm-hmm. which maybe some people out there are in that. And they start seeing these Wimp Junction moments along the way. And they start taking these examples and saying, oh, that's what's going on. I feel real good because I think I'm serving the person.
Yeah. Can we get a demo of your product? Can you come in and present to us? Can we get a trial of your software?
No doubt.
And all of those things are tempting for us to go do. But are if we just agree to them, are they in the best interest of both buyer and seller? And that's the pit that shows up in our stomach where once we get consciousness of it, we start to think, ooh, is that really what I should be doing? Or should I lean back and maybe push back a little bit or ask another question or take this in a different direction?
Why did they want to do it? And what happens afterwards?
Yeah.
And that's where we start turning Wimp Junction the other way is becoming aware of, I believe, at the most simplistic form of, okay, why do they want to do the POC, the proof of concept in the software world or whatever it happens to be? Why do they want to do the demo right now? That's great. We can do it. But what happens next? And a lot of sellers that are going down Wimp Junction the wrong way, they end up not getting that clarity.
That's right.
Why are they doing it? And what happens after we do it? Let's pretend we do it. What happens next?
And once you give away that information, once you do the demo, once you do the presentation, once you do the trial, whatever it might be, once that's done, you lose all leverage at that point.
Absolutely.
So your leverage comes is when you're most uncomfortable at Wimp Junction and you see Wimp Junction coming up. Ah, this is one of those moments. That's the time when you need to have the most courage, because it's also the time that you have the most leverage in the sales process.
Yep. And you give away your leverage is the Sandler rule for everything you do, get something of equal or greater value in return. And it's say, you know, like I like to tell our clients sometimes, I wish I could get you paid for all the demos you do, but we're paid for results typically, not just demos. But what could you get paid with? Access to other stakeholders and decision makers. You could get paid with a clear future commitment, something, knowing what happens next and who should be involved. And as you said earlier, being assertive.
Yeah.
In the moment and getting something in return is making sure we're not just, you know, driving down the wrong direction in Wimp Junction.
And you got to recognize this moment, and you got to have some tools in your toolbox to be able to make sure that you're making the right turn and you're making the right decision. And then, you know, you got to have some guts and courage.
You got to pre-decide.
You got to pre-decide.
You got to pre-decide with your pre-call plan. If you have experience in your industry, you probably see them coming.
Yeah.
Once you're aware of the Wimp Junction moments, they become very highlighted in you're in a little bit of pain as a seller, because you're like, just like you with the sheet of paper haunting you. You become very aware of it. And then you're like, okay, I see it coming. We're at that point in my process that they're probably going to ask for a quote. They're going to ask for a demo. Pre-decide what you're going to do in the moment, such that you don't have to have the willpower in the moment to do it.
I love it. I'm a big fan of that, the pre-decide. And that's one of the ways to go overcome it, for sure. You recognize it, and then you start to work on overcoming it. By the way, in fairness, if you don't know that there is another path to take when they ask for a demo, and you just never crossed your mind that you should maybe push back or ask some other questions or do happy to do that. Can we talk about these other things first? And that way I can do the best demo for you, however it is. But if you don't even recognize that there is another turn to make, then you just blindly go down the wrong path. That's not even Wimp Junction, because there was no decision to make.
Right.
So you first got to get that awareness. So if we think about what are the things that we can do to overcome it, how do we get more courage, Josh? When we recognize the moment, for me, it's a pit in the bottom of my stomach, and we recognize the moment, how is it that we overcome it and we make better decisions? One of them you just brought up was pre-decide.
Sure.
What else would you coach someone on to help them be able to navigate the right turn at Wimp Junction?
So pre-deciding is also going into a pre-call plan. You know, there's so many different ways of having a better question, having a better path for them in their own best interest. Mm-hmm. And you know, I like to say, you know, sometimes people want to push a decision out, and then you go back and you reestablish why the timeline could be a pitfall for them. Say, I completely get it. I understand that you need to push this decision out. Let's pretend we do push this decision out. This, and this needs to happen such that it pushes your project out beyond that date you'd already shared with me. You got to ask better questions.
Are you okay with 6 months, waiting 6 more months until this, until you're going to get the results of what you're working towards solving?
No doubt. And you know, when you're, one thing that I try, and this is pure Sandler stuff, is that I have a saying, is that I have this dial I talk about. And when you're in Wimp Junction, the dial I'm talking about is always set your dial on every deal to no to start.
Mm-hmm.
It set it to no. It's not your job to convince them, to quote unquote sell them. If we're going in here with the right mindset, it's their job, the prospect's job, at this point, the suspect's job, to sell us and convince us that we need to do this. And you're going to become that little bit of skepticism that you always know that they're going to try to follow Wimp Junction. It's just how buyers are wired. And then are they doing the things they need to do to prove to me that they're willing to follow a path that it's a better in their best interest and obviously our best interest? If not, we're already at no. Let's just let it go. So I think it's pre-deciding your mindset a little bit too.
I really like the way you visualize that. We're going to set the dial to no, mm-hmm. and let's see what happens to move it to yes. From a prospecting point of view, by the way, it's always been great advice is set the dial to if you're reaching out to somebody that they don't have problems that you can fix and try to get them to convince you to see if they will convince you that they do have problems. It's negative reverse selling, which is a great tool when you run into Wimp Junction. So we talked about pre-decide, number one. We talked about two, pre-call planning. Number three, we talked about set the dial to no from the beginning and then see how that goes. You actually mentioned briefly, and we should come back to what I would call four and five of the list. Mm-hmm. Four is that when in doubt, if you're at Wimp Junction and you feel the pain in your stomach, in Sandler, we call it reverse. Find out why they're asking. Turn the microphone back over to them. Ask them a question. Do something to take the pressure off of you and on to someone else. Somebody asks you, well, can you do this demo for us? Happy to do that. What would you like to see in the demo for it to be a productive demo? What happens on the other end of the demo, as an example?
No doubt. But to your point earlier, if you don't know that there's another path,
yeah,
you first got to become aware of it. You know, reversing is it's magic when you take the pressure off yourself, but you got to do it in the moment. That's where going back to the pre-call planning thing. If that's not natural to somebody, that's a muscle that has to be worked out. I've talked to people about, hey, we got to think about your frequently asked questions and you got to be ready to the frequently asked questions that we get and be able to reverse those. What are you going to say? Hey, can we do a demo? Just like, hey, happy to do that. What would you like to learn from the demo to make it a productive use of time? Who else should we have in the demo that would like to get their fingerprints on this project? Whatever it happens to be, it allows you to buy some time, understand where they're going, and realize there's another path and there's more info to be gained before you just agree and move on without any sort of leverage.
And just for clarity's sake, reversing is asking a question to a question. And to your point, it's a great defense mechanism for when you're feeling pressure and you're at that fork in the road and you've got to, you know, figure out what's going to happen next. It buys you time in a big way.
Slow down time around you. And that's I see it all the time. Let's say we're in one of our own sales calls and you're listening and you want to just kind of slow down time and a pause is okay. And I feel a little bit hypocritical saying this because I move at a crazy speed, speech, whatever it happens to be. But if I am uber intentional about what I'm doing, I take very intentional pauses to think, ponder, you know, and think about where I want to go next. But it gives me time to think about, okay, what's a good question to bring more clarity to myself as well as the prospect to make sure we're making a good choice for both parties rather than just doing whatever.
And you just hit on the fifth of the five items that, right there, and that is your intentions. Mm. I think to me, when your intentions, and it's always interesting to me how many times the concept of the intention comes up in our series, in our shows together, not just with you, but with other guests as well. If you're at that fork in the road, you can think about what's in the best interest of both parties.
Yeah.
And we should have that as, I'm not trying to manipulate the circumstances. I'm not trying to lead this horse to a particular, water hole.
Right.
I just want to understand what their intentions are. And I want to be clear about my intentions. And there is something powerful about that. When you seek to understand someone's position, that it really benefits us in terms of getting to an end goal that everybody's happy with.
It's funny when you set your dial to know, mm-hmm. and you seek to understand versus seeking to, quote, sell, the understanding part usually takes care of the selling part.
Yeah.
Because it becomes clear to yourself, it becomes clear to your prospect. such that there's no guesswork, so to speak, because it's no longer we're trying to convince them of anything. We're just trying to understand where they're at, where they want to be, i.e. the pain gap. And is that something that's a priority? If it's a priority for them, do we have that solution? Be okay with like, no, this isn't a priority for you right now. There are other things on your list. That's okay. But you have to set your intentions such that you're not trying to convince them. You're trying to understand where they're at. And setting the dial to know allows you to ask that those questions that you're not trying to pigeonhole them into something else.
They feel it.
Yeah.
They'll pick up on it. They resist. They push
every
back.
Every single time. And it feels manipulative and it feels traditional sales and all those things. And that's what we want to avoid.
And so that is Wimp Junction. To me, that is the spot in the sales call. I would go so far as to say that there's also Wimp Junctions outside of the sales call as well. And those are the Wimp Junctions. Do you pick up the phone? Do you send the email? What are the other behaviors that happen outside? Do we go to the gym? Do we not go to the gym? These are all Wimp Junctions. I think our life is full of Wimp Junction moments where we're making decisions in terms of, are we doing what's easy or are we doing what's difficult?
No doubt. And it's not even difficult. You're doing what's not as easy in the moment for long-term comfort. Are you trading long-term comfort for short-term comfort? Think about it. I mean, if you're sitting there and you're making a choice to do a demo without all the stakeholders in place, you don't have enough pain. You don't know if this is a priority. You're fighting an uphill battle all the way through your sales process. So you are inflicting future pain on yourself by making a short-term solution like, okay, I can go do this demo and I'll be able to convince them because it's so cool. Well, guess what? They don't care as much as you. People don't care about your product, your solution, your service, all that stuff until they know it's going to help them. That's what's really got to be on the table before we do something. So making a short-term decision for short-term comfort is something to avoid.
You're reminding me of a few months ago we saw the Choose Your Hard series of things, and I think you're reminding me of that. Choose Your Hard. It's hard to be unhealthy, and it's hard to make good eating decisions. Choose Your Hard. It's hard to prospect, and it's hard to miss your number. Choose Your Hard, which is the more difficult of the two. And to your point, let's bring the future problem or pain that we're feeling into the present. And to me, it makes it so much easier to make the right decision when you hit Wimp Junction.
No doubt about it. First step is recognizing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right. Hope that helps some good souls out there with respect to Wimp Junction and how it applies to our goals, how it applies to our selling, and how we can get to our ultimate goals and destination that much easier. As always, sir, it's a pleasure.
Great. Thank you.